The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Aggies 38, Crimson Tide 38, 2 seconds left. 28-yard attempt by Seth Small. Is down, it is up, and the Fighting Texas Aggies take down the top-ranked Tide, 41-38. Number one goes down, and the celebration is on at Kyle Field.
And it happened. Alabama goes down. A Saban assistant beats the master. And on this Columbus Day, good afternoon. Welcome to what we think will be a fairly entertaining 4 hours. One of the most amazing weekends in modern college football history. And we are here to help recap it all for you. Let's get right to the headlines before the calls. And it's all about sloppy execution, questionable coaching decisions, and Alabama going down at Kyle Field. A&M having a little bit of fun with it. That is a golf scorecard. Remember when Jimbo Fisher said that he would take Saban down this summer? Saban responded the next day. We all thought so brilliantly. In golf? We don't know about golf, but we do know about college football. And Jimbo has caught up. A 19-game win streak was the longest active in FBS. 100-game. I mean, this is just unbelievable against AP unranked opponents. First loss since La Monroe beat Saban in his first season. His first loss versus a former assistant ever. We all know about the previous 24. And the whole college football world has been turned upside down. And we will talk all about it this afternoon. If you want to hear what Jimbo Fisher has to say about the epic victory, don't go anywhere. He will be joining us in just a matter of moments from College Station. So there is some other news. LSU doesn't win, place or show at Kentucky. And yes, Coach O, as of this hour, he is still the head football coach in Baton Rouge.
Nobody told me about my job status, so I haven't had any discussion about it. As far as I know, I'm the head coach of the LSU Tigers, and that's all that matters.
Is that the best and only way you can approach it?
No, not really. I mean, you can go in there, and I can read everything you guys could write. I can take about an hour and read all that stuff and then go tell them about it, but I don't listen to all that stuff. You know, the best thing for me to do is be very positive, understand the expectation of LSU. I will say this, and I will say it again. No one has to tell me about the LSU expectations. I know them. I was born with them, so I understand. I understand this is not the LSU standard performance. I understand my job. I get it totally. I know exactly where I'm at, and I'm going to go to work as hard as I can today, and don't blink. I promise you, I will not blink for anyone.
Well, you're going to see this comparison a lot over the next few weeks. Gene Chizik, Auburn, and Ed Orgeron. Chizik won the national championship in 2010 with Cam Newton. He was fired right after the Auburn game. Then 2 years later, Orgeron 8-8 during a similar stretch, 6-7 in the SEC. And the home losses are really starting to be a problem. And this weekend, they have another home game, an 11 a.m. kick against the University of Florida, their arch rival. How about them Dogs? They went down to the Plains. We all thought that could be a tough game. It was not. The Dogs made mincemeat out of the Tigers, and they are number one in the country. Have they been number one anytime in recent memory? Yeah, they were number one in 2008. Remember that season? They started number one. They had a sloppy opening game. They dropped to number two, and then a couple weeks later, Alabama came in and I believe had a 31-0 lead at halftime, and they never quite made it back to the top. In 82, they were number one, and of course, 1980, they ended it number one. Before that, you have to go back to 1942. And Lane Kiffin's been popping the Orville Redenbacher after a huge win. Yeah, huge by a 2-point misconversion. One of the games of the in any other year, we would be obsessing over this game today. It was one of the great games of the year in college football or any other year, and we are now getting to it. This is the preseason top 10. Alabama, Oklahoma, Clemson, Ohio State. Georgia was down at the fifth position. A&M started at sixth. Iowa State, where'd you go? North Carolina, Mack Brown. There's a spot waiting for you back in Bristol, Connecticut. So it was an amazing weekend, and we really look forward to talking to a lot of people about that this afternoon. I mentioned, who better to start than Jimbo Fisher? You think this was some kind of second-rate show that we wouldn't be talking to Jimbo today? Pete Thamel? Okay, don't answer that first question. McElroy, TOL boys, and plenty of phone calls. And since midnight, a little bit after midnight Eastern time, I've had countless texts and countless tweets. Are you going to let Matt from San Antonio on the show after you guys have humiliated him for the last 6 years, predicting that Texas A&M would beat Oklahoma? No, we're not going to let Matt on. We refuse to let Matt from San Antonio come on here and
crow. Hey, what's up, my brother? I told you they were going to win. I told you they were going to be out there.
You were right, Matt. We were wrong. We all collectively owe you an apology.
It's all right, brother. I'm not mad. I got one thing to say to Bama fans. Are you crying? Yeah, what a little baby. Because you got your butt whooped. You lost that game to A&M. Oh, man, so sad. It's always next year, Alabama fans. Legend, Joe from Red Bay, Drunken Larry. Too bad. Too sad, Jack. You lost.
Hey, Matt, so tell me this. I mean, how crazy did you get late Saturday night?
Oh, I got crazy, Paul. I got Christ. I was yelling. I was screaming. Oh, man, I was pumped. I was fired. Me and Prince had a blast at that game, Paul. That was one of the best A&M games I've ever seen in a long time. I think better than the one in 2012. What do you think, Paul? What do you think, my brother?
Yeah, I mean, the difference was, I think, that game with Johnny, I'll never forget it because we were just, it was so stunning, the fact that Alabama had just come from Baton Rouge where they had won an epic game in the fourth quarter, and it was at home. I mean, again, it's hard to compare. I think this was more of a surprise because that A&M team was expected to, I think they were, they were the top 10, I think. They weren't far off the top 10.
Oh, yeah. An analyst standpoint, we were expected to lose this game.
Yeah, there was nobody. And it wasn't only that nobody was picking A&M to win the game. The game had gone off the radar screen. We had John Talty on here the other day, and John said, there's just not a lot of buzz about this game. Of course, John said that about the Florida game. We need John to say that about more games, because every time John says that, we end up getting an epic confrontation.
Well, I got one question for you, brother. When are you going to be in College Station, man? Are you going to be there in 2023 or 2022? I want to meet you, man.
Well, you know what? I didn't think there was any chance we would be in College Station this year, but I may have to rethink that because I don't make the schedule, but I'll have to see some of the remaining games. But I think the likelihood of us getting out there have gone up significantly. Matt, we will get together soon. I appreciate your call and really glad to hear from you. How about John in Louisville? Hey, John.
Hey, I was looking forward to Matt's call. Congratulations to Matt. And look forward to the calls from Legend and Daryl Augie.
Do you really think Legend's going to call today?
Oh, he's going to be so angry. And then Augie's going to be the fallen with the coach. And then I think this is a week where Jeff is going to come out of the bushes from Columbus and his cousin John in Alabama. I think you'll hear from both of them, not to mention Leo the Lion.
Yeah, Leo. Where is Leo today? Leo chastising me about not even criticism of Coach O, just the fact that I've said that he is unlikely to survive. I mean, unlikely doesn't even seem to be the right word right now, John.
No, he's gone from if to when. By the way, the best call last week, was your wife's classmate. It's always nice to know that you've married up.
Yeah, well, I knew that, but it's always nice to get confirmation from an old friend.
And who would have believed that the two dynasties in the last 7 years are not currently, at least, in the playoffs, and I'm talking about Clemson and Alabama, but you've got five Big Ten teams in the top 10. That's just unbelievable.
Yeah, and the Big Ten has become I watched some of the Iowa-Penn State game Saturday night, and it was really interesting. I think the Big Ten is fascinating right now. They are eventually going to start beating each other up. But give them credit. This is a league a lot of us wrote off. And one more thing, let's give Georgia some credit too. They went down to Auburn and not even playing, their best game. They completely shut Auburn down and won that game by 24. Just the thought of Georgia beating Auburn by that many points is still kind of scary to me when I've been covered so many of those games. Okay, we're done with that segment. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. When we come back, we'll head to College Station and talk to Jimbo Fisher.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome back, and we are going to rush out to College Station, rushing the field, rushing to Coach Jimbo Fisher. And Coach, thanks for making time. Good afternoon, and I can only imagine. And I'll ask you to describe what your life has been like since about midnight Saturday to right now. Good afternoon.
Well, it was getting home after talking to a bunch of recruits, grading film to about 5 o'clock in the morning, sleeping about 2 hours, getting up, watching Missouri, and then coming into work and having a good day's work and spend some time with recruits and get ready for the game. Nothing's changed. I mean, listen, it was a great game. It was a great atmosphere. But, you know, we've got another game. We've got to move on.
Right, Coach, I know you have to do that. But and you've won national championships. You've been part of national championships. But still, for this program and for the fans, I know you're getting ready for the next game. But how do you feel about what this football team and your coaching staff helped to deliver to a fan base hungry for just that?
Well, that's a different question. I mean, and what I mean by that is I'm happy for two things. One is our players understanding how to compete against a big-time opponent who's a very well-coached team you have a ton of respect for, and you have to play at a certain standard to understand what that level is. And for our young players, we've had, tons of injuries, 7 to 9 starters out consistently, and a lot of freshmen got forced in at the beginning of the year. That's different than you do at the middle of the year, because sometimes those guys understand how to prepare. And the level in which they played, and now they know. Sometimes they didn't know in the beginning. And understanding that for them to have success and to believe in what we're doing, the process of what we do and how we do things. And then I'm going to tell you, you saw the atmosphere here. I don't, listen, Maybe you say I'm prejudiced because I say this is as good a place to play a college football game in the country, but I believe that wholeheartedly. There's not a better fan base, and everybody has them. It's a tremendous environment. It's a tremendous atmosphere. And, you know, we want to provide a great product for our fans because they're as loyal as anybody in college football, and we want them to enjoy victories for their sake and be proud of what we can put on the field for them.
Coach, while you were grading film and getting ready for Missouri and getting ready for the beginning of another week of practice, all you do is flip on a television or look at some website, and it was all about you and Coach Saban. And I know how much you respect him, but still to not only have called your shot, in jest or not, but to deliver on it, that has to feel pretty good.
Well, the call and the shot was me being competitive when somebody says, you know, you can't do something. And that's what the competitor in you does. But they're the standard, and you have to match that standard. And you can't walk away from that standard. And the respect you have for Nick and everything he does and how he's done things, listen, I consider him a friend. He's a great competitor. He wants to beat me. I want to beat him. But I never thought of that. And I know that sounds crazy, and it doesn't mean that much to me now as far as, you know, I want our organization to be good. Now, that's not coach talk. And I think he feels the same way about his. I feel the same way about that. That's just the way we're wired. And I just think, you know, it is a great accomplishment for our organization. And he's a hard guy to beat. You have to coach well and you have to play well.
And one last question on that. But I saw you at the game, so I know you had to think about it a couple of years ago when Kirby Smart was playing him for the title. And everyone of that group, and you've been gone from that Saban inner circle in terms of an assistant for a long time, is it fair to say that all of you collectively, one of you wanted to be the first?
I guess it's better to be the first than the second or the third. There's no doubt about that.
Or never.
I guess you say that. Well, because here's the thing. The thing about it is when you do accomplish that, you know you've accomplished something significant because of respect and how good he is at what he does. And it was eventually going to happen. I mean, somebody was going to. I mean, it doesn't go – streaks don't go on forever and ever and ever. We say they wish they could, but it doesn't happen. So I guess that is a significant thing. But right now when you're in the middle of a season, you don't think. Maybe when you retire, you think about that.
Well, somebody asked me about it, and I'm not trying to push you to the finish line. You're a long way from that. But when you do step down at some point in time, I do feel that your national championship or whatever you – or another one perhaps will be mentioned first. But having beaten him will also be part of really the first line of who you are and what you've accomplished.
Most likely it will be because of what he's accomplished and what he is and what his standard is in college football history. You're probably right with that, Paul.
Well, I will try to move on from there because I know it's not it's not easy. But so how do you take this team that nobody gave a chance to? You have the biggest, most significant win of the season, not throw it away in a game Saturday that you need to win to keep going on with this season?
We started right after the game and we educated about, all right, why did we have success in the game? We have some young guys who, you know, have had more time now playing and understand what the standard is. Now, how we prepared during the week, how we played during the game, how we thought during the game, all the things in which you do. Just like we all want to fix things when they're wrong, but you got to repeat them when you do right. And for young players, it's very important to understand why and the thought process you had of playing the next play, not letting one play become two bad plays so there's a bad drive. Then that drive, I'm down, well, then I screw up another drive. And having the maturity to understand it. And like you say, those victory doesn't mean as much if you can't go back and repeat your performance in the next week and the next week and learn from those things. And that's what our organization and our team needs to do because we keep building the culture here to have a chance to have a championship team. And that's the educational part, Paul. And that's a very hard thing because, listen, when everything was going bad, I told him, listen, eliminate the clutter. You can't listen to social media. You got to believe in the things you do. Well, now when things are good, it's the same thing. Quit listening to social media. Go back and just replicate what we did last week as far as preparation and mindset. The games will be different and the teams are different. But how you prepare is the key, so that way you control what happens to you, and it's about how you play, not your opponent.
You lose to Mississippi State a week and a couple of days ago, and we all, let's be honest, not you, but we all wrote you off. It was over. Mm-hmm. How did you find a way to bring this team back?
Well, I think education, same way. And told the guys now that, you know, all right, all the stuff out there you were saying and believing, we're the only ones still standing here. Trust what we have done. Trust our history as coaches. Trust, and we have to trust you, and we have to all be in this thing together and educate them about what it takes to be successful. And, you know, sometimes it takes a few failures for guys to buy in, not buy in, I guess, but totally believe in the standard and the level in which you have to do it. And hopefully our kids do it now. The challenge, like you say, is now. We got to do it again this week at Missouri, because Missouri is a very tough place to play. They play very well at home, and we got a heck of a challenge ahead of us.
I want to end on something you said at the very beginning. First thing you do, you win, you celebrate, and then you talk to the recruits, because that is the future of this program. Mm-hmm. What a night it had to be a recruit at Kyle Field. Discuss those conversations as much as you can, not identifying players, but what was the mood of those conversations?
You know, it was tremendous. And like, especially for guys who came from a distance who had never experienced a game at Kyle Field, the atmosphere, the environment, the crowd, the people, the 12th man, and then the competition level playing SEC football and playing an opponent like you had Alabama, and the level in which we played at was tremendous. Of course, the reception is good, but I think it really opened up people's eyes to how special this place can be if we put things in a row and keep recruiting and get the right players. Because at the end of the day, listen, you got to coach guys, you got to coach them well, but you got to have good players, and you got to have great players. And in football, it's not like basketball. You get two or three guys, you can win a championship. You got to have a lot of them. And listen, we're all better coaches with real good players. And that's one of Alabama's keys. They've recruited very well. So we have to do the same thing and recruit to that standard so we can coach to that standard and do that. It was a great night for that, and it was great conversations, Paul, as good as it could be.
Coach, we talked to you 3 weeks ago today before you had lost a game, and now we talk to you after you've won the biggest game of the year in the SEC. Congratulations, and thanks so much for making time.
Paul, it's always great to be with you, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Coach Jimbo Fisher from College Station on our first guest on what is going to be quite a Monday afternoon. Please stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Comeback of the Week is supplemented by Aflac. Get help with expenses health insurance doesn't cover.
A&M is the comeback of the week. How about that? Losing two games in a row and then beating the number one team in the country. That's pretty shocking. Let's get back to the calls here. And Mad Dog in Georgia is up next. Hello, Mad Dog.
It is great to be a Georgia Bulldog yet again, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Paul, I've got a little beef here, because after my Thursday call with you last week, your most obnoxious caller by far, the self-proclaimed legend in his own mind, by the way, he not only called me out, but he also lied. He lied and said that I had been beating my chest. And if you check your archives on your show, you'll find that I've never done that. And he went on to call my dogs yellow. Then you replayed that call on Friday and thus taunting me. But legend's timing was impeccable, wasn't it? Because right after he beat his own chest, a Bama bedwetting went on against the Fighting Jimbo Fishers. So, legend. And by the way, we should spell legend with a lowercase L. Legend, you're now legend the liar and legend the loser. And legend the lying loser, and that loss represents the sun setting on the Saban dynasty. And by the way, Saban should quit dyeing his hair to look younger. He should also quit using Ron Popeil spray on hair. Everyone sees through that sad attempt at youth. So, legend with a lowercase L, you're actually the worst representation of Alabama imaginable. You're the kind that makes true Alabama alumni cringe. You're merely a tailgate tiger. You're just another sad bandwagon wannabe, always living in a past that's not even truly yours. But I want to give you, legend with a lowercase L, a chance to defend yourself face to face. So I'm inviting you to come on the Mad Dog Show so we can go at it real time, so that the Mad Dog can go against the self-proclaimed legend with a lowercase L, the lying loser. So, Paul, please put legend on today for his rebuttal.
Rack 'em. Kathy is up next in Georgia. Hello, Kathy.
Hi, Paul. I want to first say I'm excited about the SEC Network going to Georgia this weekend.
Oh, yes.
Looking forward to seeing y'all there.
Thank you.
Also, talking about Legend. I hope that he does come on. I hope that he's feeling okay. And if not, I have some Pepto-Bismol I can send him for all the crow that he's probably throwing up from talking about everybody. But us dogs, we need to stay humble because we still haven't beat Alabama. We haven't won it in a long time. So we need to stay humble and play our game and play Kirby Smart game.
Thank you, Kathy. Gary, next in South Carolina. Hello, Gary.
Hey, Paul. Great to be on your show. I followed you for a long time since the late 80s in Birmingham, and love to see your success.
Thank you so much.
I had a theory I wanted to run by you because, obviously, I'm an Auburn fan, and I have watched with dismay and frustration at the dominance that Saban has. And what hit me Saturday night was, I wonder if this could be a bit like Mike Tyson. You know, Mike Tyson was scared people walking into the ring. He pretty much won when he walked into the arena. And then he got knocked out by Buster Douglas. So I wonder if what Jimbo did. Now, obviously, Alabama still got great
players. So, Gary, are you suggesting that 2 years from now, we'll see Nick Saban in, like, Hangover 4? Can you imagine?
I don't know if I'll quite go that far.
Yeah, I mean, based on what I've seen of Saban's acting in the Aflac commercial, I mean, he's a natural for Hollywood.
That's exactly right, but. You know, from a coaching perspective, there's such a fear factor and a pucker factor when people go up against Alabama.
You're absolutely right.
And so hopefully it'll work for Brian Harrison later this year. But but I just thought that was an interesting note.
Well, hey, thank you very much. That is interesting. Jim is up next. Hey, Jim.
You know, Paul, you know Legend. I know Legend, but who is this idiot, Mad Something? He's a madman, right? I mean, we know Legend, pal.
Mad Dog. Mad Dog.
Legend is a legend. What are you, madman? What are you? Come out here like Billy Popoff, talking about Legend, talking about stuff. I just tell you one thing. Legend's not going to come on your stupid show, Billy Popoff, madman. Because he's not going to make your show for you. You have to make your own show. You're not going to get a star like Legend. You don't deserve it. That's all I got, Legend. Paul, these jerks. Anyway, I love it. Matt's on there. He's a star now, right? Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good. Love it, Paul. Love it. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Daryl is up next.
But Paul, we're not number one anymore, Paul. I mean, we can't even beat Nick Saban's assistant coaches anymore. You know, I wanted to think that the Florida game was not a fluke. I really believe that. But then we go out there and we're a double-digit favorite and we get beat by an unranked team. What are we going to do, Paul? We're probably going to lose to Auburn now. You know what I mean? Because that's probably what it's going to come down to decide the West. But I think we all know who number one is, okay? Which really doesn't matter. One thing that matters is being number one in January. But, Paul, I mean – you got to, you know what? Anybody that says Kirby Smart and them guys cannot develop players, we got a wide receiver that was a walk-on, our best receiver. Our quarterback was a walk-on. I mean, just a phenomenal, phenomenal job by Coach Smart and that coach staff so far. Would you agree?
I would totally agree. I think he has developed and he's developed players brilliantly. Now he just needs to finish the job. Let's check out Robert in Tennessee. Hey, Robert, go right ahead.
Paul, been an Alabama fan my whole life. This worst team I've seen to put on the field in 10 years. I mean, I don't know. With these coordinators keep jumping around, it's causing a lot of issues. But whoever was running that offense the other day, why in the hell they wouldn't stick two tight ends on the end of that line to help block, bring a fullback in there? But it was a constant dose on it. It went on for an hour, and they never made the adjustment. So I don't know what to say. You know, it was obvious in the Florida game that Alabama was light on the line of scrimmage and getting their butt kicked all over the field. And, yeah, they're going to lose two football games this year. But, you know, every year can't be that way. You can't win a championship every year. But this RPO stuff, look back in history, Paul. The RPO crap don't win, man.
Thank you for the call. I appreciate it very much. Pat is up next in Texas. So hello, Pat.
Hi, how are you?
I am doing well. Thank you.
I just wanted to say I was born and raised in Alabama. I grew up with the Bear Bryant era. And as Bear Bryant always said, on any given Saturday, even the best team can be beat. And everybody's wanting to put Saban down. Saban's come in, and he's built Alabama back up. So we all need to be proud to be a Roll Tide fan.
Thank you very much. Matthew is up next. Hey, Matthew, good afternoon to you.
Hello, Paul.
How are you?
I was at the Texas A&M game with my dad.
Yeah, I bet that was fun.
Yeah, it was a great game.
How old are you, Matthew?
I'm 10.
Okay, Matthew. I don't want to try to give you too much advice because you got your dad, but. I hope you realize how special a moment that was. That's a night that I think as you grow older, you're going to remember for a very long time.
Yeah.
What was your favorite part about the evening other than the final kick?
I don't know. I just liked how we were playing and our defense was holding them, and I enjoyed watching that. You were the wrecking crew last year.
So who acted crazier during the game, you or your dad?
Well, we were both acting pretty crazy because it was quite a game.
I listen, you brought back so many great memories of going to football games with my dad and all of our dads. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Thanks so much. Treasure that moment. We are heading to the break. Pete Thamel. Next hour, if you're just getting in the car or at home, you missed Jimbo Fisher, but we'll recap that for you later, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All of you back as we continue taking your phone calls here at 855-242-7285. Let's check in with Lisa, who is up next. Good afternoon, Lisa.
Hi, Paul. I just want to call in, first of all, to thank you for having Matt on first. He should get an hour of your show. But I'm looking forward also for a legend to call in because he told us, what, 2 weeks ago?
He sure did.
That the offensive and defensive coordinator needed to go. And I was on his bandwagon. I kept saying, repeat it again, legend. Repeat it again because your other audience was not listening. And to Mad Dog, he sounds more scared than anything. Until Coach Choke over there in Georgia beats us, then Roll Tide and have a nice day.
Thank you. Andrew is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, buddy?
We're doing well. Thank you.
I was just calling. I missed the opening of your show, but you probably already covered some of this. But my question to you is, I noticed Saban probably would never do something like this mid-season, but if he did, you know, fire O'Brien or whatever, is there somebody on Alabama staff that could step into that role immediately, or what do you think he would have to be brought in?
So you're asking me, is there somebody on Saban's staff that would call three passes from the 3 yard line?
Yes, sir.
I think you could probably go, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, but you could probably get the film crew to call just as good a play as that.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Yeah. first of all, I don't think Nick Saban is the kind of coach who is going to be making mid-season changes. And never forget this. And I'm guilty of it too. We all want to criticize the coordinators, but everything goes through Nick Saban. He's got a headset. he is in on every play of that game, and he knows what the plays are before the game in terms of the strategy. So let's not absolve him as we blast Bill O'Brien and talk about Pete Golding, ought to be let go or this or that. I mean, Nick Saban is ultimately, and he's not a figurehead head coach. I mean, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I mean, he's pretty active. Hey, thank you. Appreciate the call. Let's continue with Ed, who is up next.
Yeah.
Hey, Ed.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Ed, we're doing great.
Yeah, you got a great show. And this, I'm a first-time caller, but I'm a lifelong Gator fan. And I want to tell everybody something. Alabama is not dead in the water. They're going to come back stronger than ever. And they still have a chance to go to the SEC championship.
Right.
On the other side of that token, whenever Georgia has a good team like they have this year, they always lose a game to Florida, the Gators. Even though we might be on the outside looking in now at the SEC championship, but if they could go on. And I just want to tell you, Paul, go Gators, and you got a great show.
Thank you very, very much. I really do appreciate it. Nick is up next in Georgia. Hey, Nick, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing? Lifelong Tennessee fan and first-time caller.
Wonderful.
So I got a couple questions for you. After watching the game on Saturday, both the Georgia game and the Alabama game, everybody's hyping up the SEC championship team of that game. What do you think the odds are that Alabama is able to bounce back and beat Georgia? Because I live in Georgia. I don't want to hear it from the Georgia fans. So.
Yeah, Nick, I don't know. Right now, and just think about where we are. We are entering the seventh week of the season. After the first week, everybody announced or anointed Alabama would be the champion. A week ago, we all said Alabama and Georgia will meet twice. So I think it's absurd for anyone to authoritatively say they will or they won't. I mean, I think the odds are still pretty good that Alabama will meet Georgia again. And, you know, Alabama beating Georgia isn't like the longest shot in the world. They may be an underdog, but the last time Alabama's been an underdog once since 2009, and that was against Georgia, and they won that game in Athens convincingly. Let's go back to the calls, and what was that again? James is up next. Hey, James.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
James, we are doing well. Thank you.
I just wanted to remind some of the callers from Georgia about the six titles that we won and that they haven't beaten us yet. So don't be too boastful just yet. And we've still got time to come back this season. I don't expect it because of how we've been playing. But I don't count Saban out.
Well, I don't think you can. I mean, there's a reason why he has the reputation he does. Luke is up next in Kentucky. Hello, Luke.
Hey, hello, Paul. I'm a second-time caller, and I'm a big Blue Nation fan.
Thank you.
Kentucky all the way. But, yeah, I kind of agree with the last several callers that the Georgia fans, especially the Mad Dog or Weak Dog, is saying that they're going to beat whatever, Alabama maybe, in the championship. They haven't won the SEC East yet. They got to play Tennessee and Kentucky, my team. And, yeah, we're underdogs, but why are they're jumping the gun?
Well,
so they need to be careful.
Luke, we live in a world where we all jump the gun, I think, a little bit. Hey, thank you for the call. David is up next. Hey, David.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
David, we are doing great.
Hey, I enjoy your show, man. First time call.
Thank you.
I'm a big Alabama fan, diehard fan. And, a lot of people, like you said some while ago, a lot of people is getting on the defenses and offensive coordinators. But listen, I think the offense is okay. It's just the defense, man. And like you said, Saban has his final say. So why did they keep – ask this question for me, Paul. Why did they keep blitzing?
Well David, I really have felt this for a long time, but I don't know what Nick Saban sees in Pete Golding as a defensive coordinator. I know he tried to mentor him, and he's had some good moments, but there have been too many questionable moments, I think, to satisfy the diehards. Anyway, we have made it through 1 hour. Pete Thamel will join us in the next hour. We'll get the latest on Ed Ogeron's future right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.